Friends, grace, mercy, and peace from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning will come from various readings that we just read, but I want to start off by rereading our introit from Psalm 100 that we sang this morning. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Amen. What a beautiful verse to end the Easter season. Today we began the last week of Easter. The celebration of the resurrection has come and gone. The Christ candle will flicker for the last time, marking Jesus' departure, that he has left the earth and his disciples behind. Last Thursday marked 40 days from the resurrection, 40 days from Easter morning. It's what we call, of course, the day of Ascension. It's the day Jesus rose from the earth, rose in his glorified body in the presence of his disciples, rose to be with his Father once again, rose from the earth to sit at his Father's right hand, rose to rule and govern and direct all of creation. Jesus' work in the flesh, his work on earth, his teaching and showing and helping and nurturing was complete. His suffering and dying complete. From the first day of the resurrection and for 40 days, Jesus appeared off and on to his disciples, sharing with them descriptions of the kingdom of God. He revealed scriptures and how they all relate to him. He was there in the upper room. He was there at the Sea of Galilee. He was there walking on the Mount of Olives. And lastly, somewhere near Bethany on a hill, Jesus was with them, live, in the flesh, his glorified body, a body capable of walking through walls, of appearing and disappearing, of floating in the air. It was him, his risen, holy, almighty God in their presence. Again, from Psalm 100. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. What a time that must have been for the disciples. A time of wonder and amazement. A time of inquiry and learning. But also a time of confusion and marvel. Lord, is now the time you're going to restore Israel? They ask once again, still pondering, still hoping that Jesus' work on earth wasn't just to be a teacher and a guide, but to be a warrior and a king. Restore our lands, our economy, our armies, our strength. Is now the time, O great Son of David, that you restore your kingdom here on earth? Hopeful up until the end, they never gave up on who they thought Jesus should be over who he actually was. It is not for you to know, Jesus replied. These are the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. What's next for you, he explains to his disciples, is a new life. A life of ministry and journey, a life of teaching and helping others, and a life of suffering, but suffering for a cause, suffering for the souls of others, suffering so that others may live, so that they may know the truth, so that they might inherit my kingdom, the Father's kingdom, your kingdom, so that we all might live together as one. This is the same advice we read today in Peter's letter. His message to new believers and new congregations that is spread. Now is the time for you to humble yourselves, Peter says, not worrying, but living boldly. Now is the time to be sober-minded, watchful, careful. Careful, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Be firm in your faith. Don't be ashamed to tell the Lord's story and to live according to his calling. Again, Psalm 100. Serve the Lord with gladness, for the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures forever. Next week is Pentecost. It's when we mark the coming of the Holy Spirit. Baptism by fire for the remaining disciples. The Holy Spirit will rush into the place where these people are gathered. Some 120 men and women, followers living together, gathered for prayer and praise, gathered and waiting for the Lord's return. In will rush a mighty wind. It will appear as fire and flames above their heads, and they will be filled with understanding and knowledge and truth. And they will speak languages from all around the world, and they will be inspired and driven to share the light they have seen with those who still live in the dark. It's then their mission, our mission, will become clear. What Jesus commanded will start. The disciples will spread throughout the earth. The scripture will be told. Connections to new and old will be made. And the life of Jesus will be proclaimed. And they will call him the one true God, the very Son of the Creator, the Messiah who had been promised, the one they had sang about and prayed for and expected for generations. Yes, he has come. And gone, they will say. And we have seen this with our own eyes. We have seen him, his majesty, his power. He has come, he is gone, and he is coming back. So, be ready. Live accordingly, they will say. Repent, be clean, follow God's law. Love him and love one another. Their message will be pure. It will be simple. It will be said out of love and devotion and inspiration. Their message will be admired and accepted by some. It will be cursed and rejected by others. Their work will not be easy. It will come at a heavy price. But in the end, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, they will persevere. The entire world will come to know this man, Jesus, his claims, his power, his truth, his promise. Our gospel reading for today was from the book of John. It's what is called Jesus' high priestly prayer. These words are part of the last discourse, the last few sentences that he said to his disciples on the night he was betrayed. Father, he says, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may now glorify you. I have accomplished the work that you have given me to do. Now, Father, he says, make them, his disciples, make them even as we are one. Make them one so that all scripture may be fulfilled. And that, dear friends, is the Easter story. That is the Jesus story. And thus ends our celebratory season of the church, the half of the church year that proclaims the coming and the going of the Messiah. The celebratory season includes Christmas and Easter. It's when we hear both about his birth and his death, about his resurrection and his ascension. The celebration is about his coming, his going, and his ultimate return. But now the celebration has ended. The story has been told. And now it's the disciples' turn, our turn, as Jesus said, to go into all nations. Time to tell the story, to share our lives, our faith, our blessings with the world. After the coming of the Holy Spirit, after Pentecost, what some call the birthday of the church, we and all believers are called to now grow the church, called to speak of Jesus, to live and work like Jesus, to love and nurture like Jesus. Now begins the time of the church, the time we talk of mission and planning and building. Now is the time we look around near and far and offer our support all in the name of the Lord, in the name of our God, in the name of the one who came to save you and to collect you to return to his paradise. Now is the time we turn in love and give back that love that he has offered to us to all those in our lives who do not know his story. Finally, from Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness for all generations. In the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever focused on Christ our Lord. Amen.